afternoon or good evening. Good to see all of you here. Thank you for coming out tonight. Trust that you've had a good week thus far in the Lord. We're going to be in the book of Amos just for a little bit. The book of Amos. Amos chapter 4. Last Wednesday and this Wednesday, I was able to go and meet with probably a total of 20 different politicians running in this area. Able to ask them some questions and things of that nature. One lady in particular was running for, she's running for school board. She's not in our district, so we couldn't vote for her anyway, but just... It's the conservative ministers forum where we invite, of course they don't all come, but we do invite all of them that are coming. And straight off the bat, the first thing she told us was that this is in a church at a conservative meeting of ministers. Trying to get information. First thing she said, she was for abortion and thought it was not a problem with it. This is a principal at school right now. And then later on said she believed in evolution, nothing but evolution. So that's right here in Orange County. Small sampling. I only met with 20, and that was, at least she was open, I guess. I can say that about her. But that's what our kids have to put up with. Now, I know school just ended. This lady's running for the school board. So if she's like that as a principal, wow, what would she push? Brother James has been fighting to get these Bible clubs going over there at Dr. Phillips. And they allow every club in the world to meet and have their projects and things of that nature, but soon as one is going that's going to make a difference, the devil raises up his big head and starts to fight. Amen. We got to understand, we are in a spiritual battle of the hearts and minds of our kids. And we need to seriously be praying throughout the summer, especially for some of you that are, your kids are moving up, perhaps out of elementary to middle school to high school, and high school on to college. I tell you, it's a big difference. I know I don't sound like I'm for education, but I am. It's a needed thing. I don't think we need to be running around like a bunch of box of rocks. Rocks in a box or whatever. We need to be educated. We need to educate ourselves. We need to, you know, spend some time reading other than social media reading too, you know, get some learning. But you have to be careful, because in that learning, seeing that we have kids in our family that have already went into college, well, their professors are really, really tough. But I guess the spirit of the Antichrist, huh? Yeah, Asa, what you need, buddy? There's a missing link between us and God. A great gulf fix that has separated us between Him. That link is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Asa is a pretty sharp young man. He likes talking about spiritual things. I like talking with him. Not that I don't like talking with you either, man. I like talking with you too. But actually, I enjoy spending time with all of our bus kids. But we are in the time that we need. And so I've been in the process of these meetings, I got two more to go to. over the next couple of weeks. You realize in our district right here, it is, there in the U.S. House, there is nobody running except one. It's just, we need to pray that somebody will just step in, because this is what's going to happen. If nobody runs, they don't even have to spend a dime. So what they do is take all that money that they've been given by their party and by the people that back them, and they move it over to another district, and they help overtake in that district. So we need to be praying God will raise somebody up, perhaps, maybe right here. Brother Bray, you want to run? I mean, you might be a sacrificial lamb. We're in a very liberal, believe it or not, this area is very liberal in its political viewpoints right down here where we're at, this corner of Orlando. So we need to be praying about that. And in the process of doing all that, this statement in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, Amos chapter 4, verse 12, it says here, therefore thus I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, listen what it says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. What powerful words that is as I ponder this. As we're preparing, you know, it's a midterm election coming up, and they're preparing, they're raising money, they're coming to these meetings, they're passing out flyers, and this is what one of them said. One of the politicians, because they asked him about the amount of money that he's raised, and he said, well, in midterm elections, it's not really about the amount of money. If you spend more time at foot, door to door, in midterm elections, it has been proven that you have a better chance of being elected. Door to door. Isn't that amazing? By foot. Preparing. Wanting to go. I know this is a warning to Israel, but you know, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. God that does not change. I believe it's a warning that's always relevant. I believe it's even for today. I think it's a warning that we need to never try to cancel out in our hearts, in our minds. We prepare for a lot of things. You know, we prepare for summer coming up. You get ready. You're preparing for summer vacations. You're preparing for going to college. You're preparing for maybe a job that's coming up if you're a self-employed person. Other things. I know when we have an event in our home, talking about one that really sticks out in my mind is when we have open house and we invite the church down in December, just spend time with us, to have time of fellowship outside of the church setting. But you know, I'm telling you, the preparation goes into that. It seems like, you know, when General Patton said, I shall return, that's how my wife is whenever. We're like on attack in the house. She said, there's got 80 people here. We got to make sure this, that, and everything. Preparation. So we prepare for a lot. Brother Hector, I think every morning when you start up your trucks, or your drivers start up their trucks, and probably the same thing with Miss Fran and Brother Randy, there's a preparation for that road trip. I remember when you invited me to fly back from Georgia with you. We're just getting in a small 3-4-seater plane, and the preparations that he kept going, checklist after this and that, reading off the, you know, and making that preparation just to, and you know, we prepare for a lot of things. You know, they're already starting for preparation for your hurricane kit. For us that are not diligent about it, we get annoyed by their commercials and their wanting us to be ready until it actually comes, and then we're mad because there's no water. Our sister, I believe it was Sister Amanda, you found some water down at Wawa down at the end last year, about what, $20 or something like that for You know, when you don't prepare, that's what you get. So make preparations, prepare to meet thy God. You know, that's one thing we got to understand is that we must at some point or another meet God. Whether we're saved or lost, we must. It's appointed. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Another Romans 4:12. It says we must all give an account of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before Christ. These are verses that tell us. Then Romans 20:11-15 talks about those that are without Christ and die without salvation in Christ Jesus shall appear before the great white throne of God. We're going to meet God. I just wonder what preparations we're making. So we read verses like this, we're not careful, we discount them, we say, well, it's only talking about, you know, a situation for Israel. They were in some really bad trouble, and the warning from the prophet Amos came and said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And we say, well, you know, that must have been a fearful time for them. But when we look at verses in connection with what I just read, Hebrews 9:27, Romans 4:12, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 20:11-15, we must meet God one day. What preparations are we making? What preparations are you making? Listen, this is probably our most important appointment. I drive my kids literally crazy. I really do when it comes to making appointments. I'm leaving early. We're going to be there, not after the fact, but on time. Before the fact. So my appointment's 8 o'clock. I'm going to be there at least 10 to 15 minutes prior. And that's on a bad day. They're liable to sit with me for 30 minutes if on a good day. We prepare for many things. But this is the most important meeting that we're going to ever have. And the Bible says in the New Testament, there would be one laying in a bed, two laying in a bed, one taken and one left. He said, well, only one of them is going to be. No, the other one's going to be at the great white throne of God. It is a fact, a biblical fact, that we must meet God. This is a coming event, a meeting in our life that we are not going to escape. You're not getting away from it because you just don't want to go up. You just don't want to show up. You just don't want to have part of it. You just don't want to be involved in this meeting. This is a meeting that we are. How are you prepared? Prepare to meet thy God. And we must prepare for this. God does not command us this unnecessarily. He doesn't just say, after death there's going to be an appointment of at judgment. He doesn't just, you know, well, I just thought I'd say that. No, dear friend. These warnings that we're giving are necessary warnings by God to help us to prepare. Because, you know, left to ourselves, men alone, left to themselves, we make very little preparations if we don't have to. Some of you, your spouses have gone away and, maybe visiting family and going away 2 or 3 days. And men just take it as a vacation. We just leave everything undone to the last hour. They're driving. Where you at, hon? I'm on the turnpike. Then we start getting things a little bit in order. And then if we don't get it in order, we say, well, I don't see nothing wrong. Garbage running over, dishes in the sink, dirty clothes laid all over the place. Toothpaste undone, left on the counter, everything just undone. I don't see nothing. We got to prepare. We got to make preparations to meet God, dear friend. We're meeting the God of the universe one of these days. You got to make preparations. Well, you know, I feel like I'm ready. I was born in a Christian family. Wow. Well, I was born in a semi-civilized nation. That's about where we're at right now, semi-civilized. I'm looking forward to the day that here in America, if we're not careful, every day is going to be a Black Friday. Look at all the road rage going around us. It was last week, Brother Josh and I and Brother Chase was coming out of the print shop last Thursday, I think. There was a car waiting to turn left here on Hope Road, and here come a big old four-wheel drive. He just wasn't going to wait. He was going to go around, and right down into the ditch he went and got stuck. Because he was just not, and all that. As soon as he went into the ditch, that car turned left as he slid down the bank. Right down. And just all them other cars. I mean, it's a big four-wheel drive, too. And all those other cars just drove right on past him. Pastor, surely you went out there and gave him a chain and pulled him out. No, it didn't. He would have sat there until this week. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Well, that ain't too nice. Well, he was already mad. If I went out there, he'd have been madder on me. He just would have went, go to work crazy. Let him call his friend. Let his friend pull him out. Road rage. I mean, it's everywhere. Last year, right down here, two pastures down, there was another huge truck, four-wheel drive truck. And I'm telling you, he was not happy waiting in line. As cars would come, he would get out on the other side, he'd go. He actually run up on top of a little old car down there because they wouldn't let him back in this lane. Road rage. We cannot say, well, I'm born in America, so I must be A-OK. Because we're getting pretty bad around here. Well, I'm a member of this church or that church. Well, that's good. Membership is a good thing. It's a needful thing, but you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. We think we're ready. Well, I live a pretty upright life. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. Wow. And all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I would say in our own righteousness, we better agree with God. Isaiah 64:6. Pretty plain there. Pretty plain how we stand before God without the righteousness of Christ. Now here's some examples about some folks that did not make proper preparations. Adam and Eve. I think we can think back to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, as they're there, the Garden of Eden. God's blessed them with everything that any person could ever want. One commandment, this is mine, don't touch it, this is don't fool it, this is for me, all the rest, enjoy. There, they had fellowship with God on a daily basis, and the Bible's not very clear to us about how long God stayed down in fellowship with them, but it's clear that He did come down and visit with them. It seems really on a face-to-face basis that God would come down and have fellowship with them. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened. They partook of that fruit, Eve, and then Adam ate some. And their eyes was open, and they were going to fix everything. Got some fig leaves. That was their preparation. It didn't work out too well, did it? See, their preparation was not God's way. The perfect thing with them had been done was to chop the head off that serpent and go on living with God, enjoying life. But, of course, sin happened. All have sinned now, and we're in a fix because of Adam and Eve. But when God showed back up and they had prepared, it was of little effect. God had to show them the proper way through the shedding of the innocent blood and the clothing of the with them, with the skins of the animals that God slain. And then they passed that on down to their children, but apples don't fall too far from trees, do they? Cain didn't catch on. He again prepared the works of his hands. The story of his mom and dad, can you imagine them sitting around telling that story to their kids? You know, we messed up real bad and we're sitting around there in some fig leaves and God wasn't too impressed, boys. Why? Because it wasn't his way of doing things. And they passed it on their kids, and then Abel got it. Cain did not. I think about another one, Belshazzar, over in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5, as he's attained to the throne, and he's there celebrating and having a tremendous paganistic type party there, and wasn't satisfied with all of the things that he had. He had to go into the treasure house, and he took the things of the temple of God and brought them out and used the things of the temple of God in a pagan, lost, heathenistic way. And at that time, he had made great preparations for the party. But the hand of God was not pleased. Not at all. I think about Saul. Saul, there in the book of Acts, Saul said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. Concerning the law, I'm blameless. Made all kind of religious preparation. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ there on the Damascus Road, he wasn't ready. He said, Saul, it's hard for thee to keep against the pricks. So you can make all the preparations you want, dear friend, but if it's not the preparations that God has set down for us, he's going to say, depart from me, thou worker of iniquity, I know you're not. So we've got to prepare. We've got to make these preparations. And the thing about it is, Brother Jim, we can prepare. We can prepare to meet God. It's not outside of our reach. It's not that we don't have a way of meeting God or understanding what God requires. It's all here. It's in there, and it's for us to do. God would not give this command in Amos, prepare to meet thy God. Every man's going to appear before the bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, or the lost will stand before the great white throne. He would not give these commands if there was not a way to fulfill these commands. God doesn't play games with us. God doesn't play games at all. There's a pastor up in Ocoee area, south side of Ocoee, right there, closer to 50. He's got a smaller church with a little bit of land. I think he's got about 2.5 acres there, a smaller building, kind of like the one up front. And they got a real homeless problem up in that area, real homeless problem. And so his church had raised some money, and they were going to buy a portable building and try to house a few of the homeless folks, try to get them up on their feet, give them a hand up, and get them up. And the county would not grant them permits to do so. Wouldn't grant them at all. It's amazing how the government is always interested in churches doing things under their terms. Church right next door tried 2 years ago to have a little tent meeting outside, and they wanted over $1,500 for a fire marshal's permit to have a 2-day meeting with the tent. right outside. So they just decided to do it without tents, told everybody to bring their umbrellas. This is actually silly. The other day, the tolling company, the voting place used to be next door here at the church right next door for this area, for our little voting circle here. And they tried it for 2 years, and this year the pastor over there told them, says, y'all aren't coming back here, we're done. It is not worth my time or effort or the message. I'll leave around here to do it. So they approached us, and I told the lady, I said, no, ma'am, I don't think that's something that we'd be interested in. She said, but we're giving you $200 to help fulfill your civic duty. My civic duty. Isn't that amazing? No need for a church other than when they want to have a need for a church. And we still not have it around here. And it's not interested in the trouble. I don't want them coming around and telling us we got to cover up a cross around here because it might offend somebody. This is God's place. And if we had it like the church down south, that they made them cover them up, we would have closed the voting booth. They would have arrested us. They would have took me on to jail because we wouldn't have covered up no crosses in the house of God. You know, we don't have a bunch of them around here, but I'm just telling you, you come to our house. Are we prepared to meet our God? He's made a way. He really has. Jesus died. We don't have to owe a sin debt if we do it God's way. We accept Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, by faith, and our debt is paid by Christ. It's just an amazing thing that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. Brother Burgos, we didn't have to become all good and right in the eyes of God to get saved. He said, come as you are. In faith, and you can have eternal life. He arose again so that he could offer assurance of life everlasting. Then after he saves us, Brother Paul, he makes us his children. He rent the veil from top to bottom so big old sinners could even get in. Not us good folks that, you know, don't ever do anything wrong, but he rent it wide open. So bad sinners could get in. What's amazing is that after we're saved, we trust the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, he says to us, come boldly into my throne room. What we're going to do in the throne room? Well, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we are faithful, if we confess our sins, he is therefore faithful to forgive us. See, when we're crossways with God and we're backslidden and we're going contrary to the Holy Spirit of God, we're quenching the Holy Spirit of God because of our activities and appetites and the direction that we're taking, and we're wayward from God, we got to do something. Kind of like what the Bible says in the parable of the prodigal son. We got to come to ourselves and return to the Father. So if you're wayward today and you're doing your own thing and you're a child of God, he's made a way for you to be right. Preparation. You've got it. It's all in your, you know, as the saying goes, the ball's in your court now. But you've got to play by God's rules. Confession of sins, dear friend, brings forgiveness from God. If we confess our sins, he then, therefore, is faithful. The only thing is there is that we have to do our part. And we've got to return to it. Now, that's an amazing thing as you look at this. It's pretty powerful, prepared to meet thy God. But also, it can be negative, like, man, God, holy, righteous, sovereign, God of the universe, we're going to meet Him. It's overwhelming if we just look at it that way. But when it's like He's laid out the red carpet for us, He said, come, all ye that are heavy laden, you're burdened down, you're carrying the weights that you're not supposed to carry, come. He says, I'll give you rest. He says, learn of me. He said, let us reason together. God says, come, let us reason. Have you ever tried to make somebody see it your way? I mean, you just, this is right, I'm right, and I know I'm right, and you're going to see it this way. It doesn't go too well, does it? Even with our children, sometimes we try to do that, and we try to get them to see it our way forcefully, and it, they might agree just to get us off their case, but they're not convinced. God says, come let us reason together. And when we see it God's way, we go, wow, yeah. Okay, God, I see that. Let us reason together. Just think about this. What have you done today to prepare to meet God? Well, I have no plans on meeting God. Sure, there's a lot of folks this morning that woke up dead, had no plans to meet God. I'm positive tomorrow or even tonight there'll be folks that go into eternity. See, we don't plan to die, but we better plan and prepare to meet God after that point. What have you done? I mean, come to Him with all your sins. Quit hiding that little bit here, a little bit there. He says, love Him with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul, everything with you. Give it all to Him. Accept the forgiveness that's there upon your confession. And follow and walk according to the Scripture. I think, what is it? What verses wherewithal a young man shall cleanse his way? What is that? First 119, verse 11, Psalms. Is it? No? Let's look and see real quick before we go home. That don't sound right. Verse 9. verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Prepare to meet thy God. Just like you would prepare to meet a loved one you hadn't seen in a long time. Just like you prepare to go to work tomorrow. Get everything in order, laid out, I guess, and get it set up. Maybe fix your lunch tonight or tomorrow, especially if you got to get up early. Whatever you do, that preparation you make. I guess what I'm saying is we need to put about the same amount of effort in a spiritual task or greater, because, the meeting of God is much more important than anything we can imagine. But we need to put some effort into it. It's not by accident that preparation happens. Not by accident at all. So what are you doing to prepare to meet thy God? Could that be the problem? He's not thy God. If He's not, you can be born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's made a way for you to go to heaven. And if He is your God, prepare. If you are preparing, stay faithful at preparation. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. We ask you, God, to bless as we go our way. Keep us safe as we travel back home to our prospective houses. We pray, Lord, that you would have honor in our lives. That we as a church, as your people, individually, as families, as couples, we would make effort in preparation to meet you. God, I'd be heartbroken tomorrow, Lord, to hear if I get a call that one of our church members has went home to be with the Lord. I would grieve. I would be sad. I love all of them. Lord, I'd be much sadder if they weren't preparing. You tell us in Hebrews, as those that watch over the souls of the flock, that we must give an account of them. And you say that you'd like us to do it with joy. God, I pray you'd help our church. Help me, Lord, to stay faithful at preparing to meet you. And help our church family. So that we, when we all get to heaven, we have those conversations in heaven in eternity, that we know that we've done our very best, that we've been faithful, we've done well as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.